Gone are the days of rest and relaxation in the summertime for most kids. We decided to talk to Stanford University's Denise Pope, who co-founded Challenge Success, a research and student intervention project. We're trying to get to the bottom of whether there can be too much of a good thing, who does and doesn't benefit from summer enrichment, and how you can create an enriching environment at home. I'm your host, Jill Anderson. This is the Harvard EdCast. I'm wondering, do all kids need summer enrichment programs? Is this a must-do?
It's a great question. And I think, you know, you have to think back to what is the purpose of summer to answer that question. And, a long time ago, we were on an agrarian schedule. We still are on that schedule based on the fact that kids needed to help out in the fields in the summer. That is no longer the case, and unfortunately, we have a lot of families where you need to have some sort of childcare in the summer. Your work schedule doesn't necessarily correspond to your child's school schedule. So we have this unique problem with summer and childcare and what to do. What we know is exactly as you said, kids are really busy and parents are really busy. Life is really busy during the school year. We have more kids than ever who are enrolled in school for longer periods of time over the past 10 to 20 years. The length of the school day has increased, and the number of kids enrolled in extracurricular activities during the school year has increased. So it's a really busy time, and we're looking at summer then with that same lens of how do I keep them busy, right? It is more better. It must be, because this is how we do it in the school year. It's actually quite the opposite of what we know in terms of child well-being. We know that during the school year, too, but it's often easier to make this happen in summer, kids need a break. They need time for free, unstructured play. They need downtime. They need time to be not in an adult-driven or an adult-led situation. They need time for kids to lead and take initiative and create their own games and play and be with nature. So what we worry about with all these summer enrichment activities is not only are we seeing kids not have the ability for playtime and downtime, and these are really important for kids' well-being, during the school year, we're worried that the summer enrichment craze is actually taking that time, that really important time for kids' development, away as well.
So it sounds like we're maybe overdoing it a little. I'm being generous there, a little bit.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with summer enrichment in and of itself, right? If it depends what it is. If you're sending them to a computer coding camp, let's say, it might be something that the child is really interested in. That's one of the things that you should look for, right? If you're going to pick some summer enrichment, the child should be legitimately interested in what you're doing. If you're signing them up for summer school, maybe they can take a class that they're interested in. Give the child some choice and some voice in the matter. But for the majority of kids, they don't need a particular planned, one that costs money kind of enrichment activity. They need to have the ability to do things in the summer that are going to enrich them in a multitude of ways. And that doesn't necessarily mean sitting in a particular classroom several hours a day.
Right. And it sounds like, or it seems like, one of the reasons maybe a parent might veer toward one of these heavily academics enrichment programs is there's been a lot out there about summer learning loss. How do we do well on standards and things like that? So I feel like maybe the natural response was to continue with the academics, right?
Right. And I do hear that from parents. There is a fear of summer learning loss. And for many, many kids and many populations, that is a reality. So what you don't want them to do is to be sitting in front of a video game all day long or sitting in front of the TV all day long, right? You definitely don't want that. But there's a lot of things in between that and scheduling them in summer enrichment all day long in the summer. What we know that kids need is the opportunity to practice skills that are going to help them in the future. Those are not just academic skills. So kids need time to practice cooperation. They need time to be able to think creatively. They need time to move their bodies and be healthy and get out in nature. They also need time to practice critical thinking and maybe keep up some of their skills in reading and math, but that can be done in a myriad of ways, right? You can have kids read for pleasure in the summer and keep a journal about it, and that would be most likely as effective as going to summer school and taking an English course, right? So it really depends on what skills we believe kids need to practice year-round, and many of those skills are academic during school time, and we tend to forget about the skills like cooperation and teamwork and taking risks in a safe environment. We just did a study of summer camp. Summer camps provide wonderful opportunities for kids to practice skills that we know are going to eventually help them academically.
Right. And I was going to actually ask you about that research, because I saw and the findings were about social emotional learning and how that is such a positive effect of summer camp. And maybe that isn't the first thing you'd be thinking about when you're looking at picking a summer camp for your kid, right? So can you tell me a little bit about, I was surprised to see that as being one of the top things that you found in this study.
Right. So whether you're going to, you know, summer camp to learn how to play tennis, or go to a sleepaway camp, or just go to your local neighborhood camp for a few hours a day, many camps offer kids opportunities to practice these skills, these social-emotional skills, getting along with others, working on a team, taking a risk, trying a new challenge, whether that's learning how to play soccer or do a ropes course or, you know, cook a campfire meal. It turns out that all of those opportunities to practice those skills, what we know about social-emotional learning skills is they are absolutely related to academics. So in our study, we just had to prove that camp offered the opportunity to practice those skills, because there's a ton of research out there that shows how important those skills are for academics. If you don't know how to self-regulate, if you don't know how to be a good team member, if you don't know how to communicate well, you're not going to do as well in school. If you don't have a sense of resilience, if you don't have perseverance, right? These are all things that you can learn in summer camps and in a lot of other activities, quite frankly.
From what I understand, summer enrichment programs could be tremendously helpful for under-resourced kids. And so my question is, are these kids not getting that? And how does that change this debate about summer enrichment?
Yeah, that's a great question. So you're absolutely right. One of the things we know about summer enrichment programs is they cost money. So already you've got a population that you're leaving out. And summer enrichment programs they usually vary by location. So most, even sort of your lowest socioeconomic population typically has some kind of Boys and Girls Club or YMCA or something offering some summer programming, but it may not be the type of programming that the parents or the families can make work. Even a low-cost program might be a barrier to entry. There might be issues with childcare, transportation, et cetera. So you're absolutely right that we're talking about different populations in terms of summer enrichment. You're also right about sort of the summer slide that happens and the greater the summer slide in terms of academics tends to happen with a lower socioeconomic population. Mostly because even if you're not in a summer enrichment program and you come from a socioeconomic status where you have a mom or dad taking you to the library and encouraging you to read, or someone is making sure that you are in some kind of kid care situation where an adult is making sure you're not playing video games for 6 hours on end, right? So there's definitely a difference in the populations and how summer happens for these different groups of kids and families. That said, what we do know is all kids need this opportunity for free, unstructured play of some kind. All kids need to practice teamwork, cooperation, communication skills. All kids need to be able to take risks in safe places and learn what it's like to persevere through a challenge, learn some problem-solving skills. So, you know, that's why, and what I love is there's a lot of scholarships available for summer camp that people don't even realize. So when I can say, you know, send kids to summer camp, I'm not saying that just for a privileged few. We're trying to figure out better ways to get more kids to experience the advantages of something like a summer camp.
What are some things, I know you mentioned like going to the library, but if you're a working parent and you're not home and you have a kid who's going to be home during the day, what are just some maybe easy things or light lifts that you can do to provide your child with some type of enrichment at home?
Well, I know it sounds crazy, but even just giving them a list of chores. turns out that chores are pretty darn important. And we just gave my son a list for the summer, kind of big chores, like, you know, power washing the deck kind of chores. But there can be some basic things that maybe kids aren't doing during the school year that we know are important for kids to do. You can get neighborhood groups together. We have had a lot of luck where people are maybe coming home a little bit early from work and helping to supervise other kids so that they're not, the whole day isn't spent without adult supervision. That said, you can also get kids to play together, you know, so that they're not alone. Even just working on setting up sort of some at the park, let's have every Monday at X time, we're going to do pick up basketball or whatnot. Give some structure to the day so that you're literally not just having a kid sit at home, not just bored, but also doing things that we know are not helpful, like being on the video games. Obviously, having kids read for pleasure over the summer is really important. Ask the kids to plan maybe an outing. Use the weekends to your advantage then, right? Use this time to go to local museums, local exhibits. I just walked through an airport yesterday, and there's an exhibit on the radio, and it was fascinating, right? These are places that are free and available and open that people can take advantage of at night, on the weekends, not necessarily during the week when they have to be at work. You can create summer enrichment opportunities in lots of different ways.
Great. Those are some great tips. And now on the other side of the coin, let's say you're a parent and you're listening and you're like, wow, I enrolled my child in a very academic enrichment program this summer. It's probably too late to get out of it. And what can you do to kind of balance that out at home?
Well, one thing I would say is, if at all possible, if your child is really unhappy in that enrichment program, it's not going to have the advantage that you think it will. So make sure that they're enjoying it at the very least. It is often not too late, especially for some of the later summer programs, to pull out and get your money back and get a refund. But you also want to then use the weekends to that advantage and the evenings to that advantage, where you really don't overschedule. You really allow some free time, some play time, time where you and your child might go outside, go to a park, take some walks. Try to balance that heavy academic push during the week, which is going to feel a lot like the school year, with some particularly sort of summer-like activities, especially taking advantage of the longer daytime, right? So after work and after summer enrichment, we've got a lot of hours where you can go and shoot some hoops with your kid, where you can go visit some local exhibits that are open late, where you can take a walk, you know, and see the sunset. So really take advantage of those extra hours for more what we would call playtime, downtime, family time, which is the Challenge Success Mnemonic Aid PDF that every kid needs every day. Playtime, real playtime. They might be playing in the enrichment, but it's usually adult-directed. We want this to be kid-led. We want it to be something that everybody enjoys. We want to see downtime where they get to sleep in, where they get a little bit of a slower pace, where they can read for pleasure, listen to music, do some creating or making of things. And then we want to see family time, where they really are spending time as a family, whether that's lingering over a meal that you couldn't do because the school year is so busy, or getting the kids involved in cooking and cleaning up and helping. All of those would be ways to take advantage and slow down what might otherwise be a pretty hectic summer.
Well, those are some great ideas. And for people who are interested in seeking out more information, where can they find that for Challenge Success?
We have a website, www.challengesuccess.org. We have, if you go to parents, we have parent guidelines. They're not particularly summer specific, but they cover everything that I just talked about in terms of playtime, downtime, family time. Creating rules around media use is really important in the summer. So that our website has a bunch of resources, research-based resources and guidelines for parents to take advantage of.
Well, this has been really interesting and helpful. Thank you so much, Denise.
Thank you for having me.
This has been the Harvard EdCast, a production of the Harvard Graduate School of Education.